Ohio State took a trip to Lincoln, Nebraska, and they come out of it with a win. Nebraska played a whole lot better than their record is, but they did not play well enough to beat the Buckeyes today. The Buckeyes win 26-17. Mo Murphy is back with me from the Off the Ball Network, and him and I have a lot to talk about after this game. We close out the game, little recap show of today's matchup in Nebraska.
Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. We are live right after the show concludes. Ohio State takes a trip to Lincoln, Nebraska, and they beat the Cornhuskers 26-17. I said it all week long. Nebraska is better than their record, and they showed it again today. Not good enough to beat big teams, but they'll make them fight until the end. Here with me today to recap today's game is Mo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network. He has been around a few times. He is a fan favorite. Listeners love him. And I'm glad he is back because this is a game, Mo, I was nervous going into. I had some friends I talked to going into the game. You and I really don't share thoughts before games and before shows we do, which I love. It's all organic right here. Yep. Ohio State won this game. I was frustrated last week. I'm more frustrated today. But I think I got to take a step back, at least right now, this portion of the show, and say Nebraska. That team is better. Their talent is better than the three wins that they have on their record. But Ohio State still found ways to be successful on the heels and on the back of a big day, career day, for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. The Buckeyes win a much-needed, a huge game today on the road.
Yeah, so, Jay, I was on the opposite side of you. Mm-hmm. I know you were nervous. Jeff, we had had a conversation when we did the show on my show earlier. Just talking about the college football playoffs and the rankings. But I wasn't so, you know, Ohio State loses this game. But, man, I thought this was going to be a blowout. We had the, you know, we had the pregame getting into it against Nebraska. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to blow Nebraska out. They didn't, you know, let off a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. And Jay. Jay, this game was horrible. This game was horrible. That's all I can say is this game was horrible.
I love it, man. I love the originality. I love that you're not sugarcoating anything about how you felt after the game, how you feel right now. The reason why I feel like this is a much needed we need to like praise the win because Nebraska, we have seen this year a 7-point loss to Oklahoma, a 3-point loss to Michigan State. Another 3-point loss to Michigan, where Michigan had to score, kick a field goal late in the game when it was tied 29-29 to beat Nebraska. Now, granted, Ohio State is a better football team than the other three teams that I just mentioned. However, they all have things that they do very, very well. Mm-hmm. Ohio State in this game, for some odd reason, I wasn't planning on doing this right now, but it just comes out. The play calling, bro, doesn't make any sense. And in the midst of play calling that doesn't make any sense, that through three quarters, your quarterback throws 43 times. I think it's 50 plus 52 or 53 times for the entire game. In the midst of bad play calling, in the midst of not giving a guy who should be in the Heisman race, Trevion Henderson, the Rock, over and over and over, the defense did what was needed. This team did what was needed to win the game. And that's probably why I'm so at least trying to start this show a little bit more positive than I thought I was going to. Because wins like this on the road in that environment, their 381st consecutive sellout, I do think that's something you need to praise. Now, they got to fix things. We got all week long on the show to talk about the things they need to fix. But I got to give credit to where credit is due and praise this team for winning the game today.
I mean, like you said, Nebraska has played top teams a lot better than people realize. Like, they're not as bad as their record shows. But like you said, they don't finish the game. And when you look at Ohio State, you go on the road. This is what everybody called a trap game. And shout out to our guy, Jeff, because he was like, you can't call this a trap game when everybody all week is telling me it's a trap game. So therefore, like, everybody believes this is a game that Ohio State is going to struggle. Is it a trap game, or is it just everybody's value in Nebraska at being a lot better than their record shows? So I'm with Jeff there that it's not really a trap game because everybody in America is telling us that this is a trap game. This is a game that Ohio State could fall victim to playing it close. Our very own at the network, Walker Bailey, told us, hey, I think Ohio State wins, but I think it's a close game with Nebraska. I think they play them really well. One thing Ohio State has always struggled with, and I pointed this out on this show earlier in the year, is they struggle with quarterbacks who can run. Mm-hmm. Once again, mm-hmm. Adrian Martinez gave us problems. Again, we've seen this before where he's given us problems in key moments because when the play breaks down, at the end of the day, what can he do well? He can run the ball. And so that's always been a problem of Ohio State. Even the greatest defenses that we've had is that a running quarterback gives us problems. And typically, no matter how good our defense is, that is our weakness. So to see Adrian Martinez keep that streak alive about, you know, Ohio State's defense continuing to let running quarterbacks get what they want is just exactly what that's exactly what I expected to see. But it's our offense that concerns me.
Yeah, the offense does concern me. I look at some of the things, some of the stats that I wrote down going into the game, and this defense still amazed me. Now, you mentioned Adrian Martinez. For the year, this is a team number, not his specifically, but the team Nebraska is throwing for 266.7 passing yards per game. He himself had 248. So he's a little less than his average, but that's right where Ohio State's pass defense is giving up. Because Ohio State's giving up 247.1. I think we're seeing what Ohio State's pass defense is right now is what we saw from Adrian Martinez. A couple big plays. They'll keep everything underneath. They'll keep your struggles. But Samari Torre, however you say his last name, he had a couple big plays. One of them was a touchdown. The other set up a run for Adrian Martinez. Where on that play, I looked and I was like, Ohio State just subbed in like six guys at one time. Now, I get it. You want fresh guys in. You want big bodies in. But I'm thinking you sub some linebackers, and I would have kept some of those linebackers in because they went right there to a guy that, and not 21, the transfer from USC, Poliye Nai Oti, I think is how you say his name. He was right there on the left side of the line. You talk about the offense. I think still defensively there are still things you need to fix, but as a whole, this defense, man, for most of the game, I'm sure, I know they got tired, but for most of the game, they were doing their job and making things hard for Martinez. It wasn't until the fourth quarter when they realized we can start doing things that we always do against this defense, and it worked. This episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Buckeyes watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. I'm loving it.
Yeah, so Jay, this is probably why you host the show and they love you a lot more than they love me.
Hey, bro, no, Mo. They're in the comments saying, let's go, Mo in the building, and they love you too.
But because you always find positive in the negative, this is why they love you. But let's just be honest. Like, the defense did look really well. We did hold, like, let's look at the light. We held Nebraska to 17 points. That has to mean something. Like you said, we held Adrian Martinez right about at his average. So he didn't have a great game against Ohio State as opposed to, you know, as I would say that our defense, but we give up big plays. And the thing is about Ohio State is we might hold guys to their average and we look like, oh, okay. But we give up big plays at the wrong moment. Like when the momentum shifts to Ohio State hands, we give it right back to the other team. And that was the problem today. Jackson Smith and the Jigba, who, like you said, we'll get into later in the show, but he had a 75-yard touchdown to the crib. Shout out to Chris Olave for making the blocks necessary for Njigba to get that touchdown. But that was the reason why we're up 17-3. Nebraska is vulnerable. We could go up, get a stop, go up 17-3 going up into halftime. And what do? We return the favor and give up a 72-yard touchdown back. So that's the problem where we give up big plays at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, you hit it right there where it needed to be hit. But you mentioned Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And going into the game, I looked at our guy Dan Hope. He tweeted out the availability report, and it showed that Garrett Wilson would not be on the field for today's game. A guy, Austin Ward, he actually does a really good job covering Ohio State football. Austin Ward from Letterman Row, he ended up tweeting out that, according to multiple sources, Wilson would be out because he has concussion-like symptoms. Okay, so those are things, protocols, you got to follow college, mm-hmm. NFL, high school, you got to follow concussion protocols because those things are very, very serious. So you figure that out, and then you wonder, who's going to step up? Yeah, first thing you might think about is Chris Olave. You might think about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who has been balling all year. You might say Julian Fleming or Marvin Harrison Jr. They don't expect you to do very much today, so this might be your day. But the guy that has been one of C.J. Stroud's go-to guys all season long has been Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And in a day where they needed a receiver to step up, because Ryan Day said, even though my best receiver is off the field, isn't playing, we're going to throw the ball all the time, throw the ball way too much. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba had a career day, 15 catches, a single game record for the Ohio State Buckeyes, 240, second all time in a single game for Ohio State Buckeyes as well. This is a game he'll remember, and Mo, this is a performance that Ohio State desperately needed today.
Yeah, so starting with talking about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I got to give a shout out to my pops. We got this platform. My dad told me Smith-Njigba is going to have a huge game when he found out Garrett Wilson was out. If there's a bigger Ohio State fan than you and me, Jay, it's my pops.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Those are the two guys that if there's anybody who love it more than us, is those two guys. But my pops, he's been buying into Smith-Njigba stock all year and was like, man, to know that Garrett Wilson and Olave are going to be first-round picks, and to know that we have a first-round wide receiver in next year's draft also in Smith-Njigba, he loves it. And you've seen that there's a reason. Quarterbacks find their guy. Like, you know, Justin Fields, Chris Olave was his guy. A lot of people were telling me that, you know, Garrett Wilson was better, but Chris Olave was Fields' guy for a reason. And so now Smith-Njigba has been C.J. Stroud's guy, and for a reason. Like, maybe he's not the best receiver on the team because he's not draft eligible. But if Smith-Njigba was draft eligible, he might be rated as the best wide receiver on Ohio State's team. But because he has another year, they're looking at Olave, they're looking at Wilson, and they're kind of overlooking Smith-Njigba and what he does. That man is amazing. That man has had some amazing games. Obviously, he had a career game today. With Garrett Wilson out, we're like, who's going to step up? And like you said, does that mean that Chris Olave has a bigger game? I doubt it, because Chris Olave is what he is, and he's an amazing wide receiver, but Nebraska knows that also. So they know to stop Chris Olave from getting in the end zone, and they still couldn't do that. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba showed that it's not a fluke that he's wide receiver number three right now with those two on the outside and him in the slot. C.J. Stroud's guy. And he's played absolutely amazing. And I tweeted out and I said, to know that going into next year, and it's not looking past this year, but to going into next year knowing that we have a wide receiver one that has a connection with the quarterback who we probably would expect to be QB1. I'm sure we'll get into that, but who we would expect to be QB1, to have that connection going into next year is a beautiful outlook. For anybody who's doubting Ohio State's offense, is that as C.J. Stroud progresses, so does Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and that's going to be absolutely amazing. If not for the rest of this year, at least going into next year, to know that we have a connection like any other, just as good as anybody else in college football going into next year.
Mo, that connection, that's what Ohio State needs right now, because you have a Purdue team next week. Purdue's not a good football team. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Purdue is somewhat what their record is. However, Purdue can do some things offensively, defensively, especially with their defensive line that can confuse Ohio State's offensive line. We may touch that in a second because there are some issues up front for Ohio State as well. But this connection they will definitely need, not only against Purdue, but if you want to get to the Big Ten championship game, this is the first time all year I am questioning if Ohio State will get to the Big Ten championship game. I know they have more talent. I know they're – to me, they're the better team than Michigan State and against Michigan than against Purdue. But you calling plays like that, you having games like this, those are the teams that will beat you. This connection right now, you talked about it so well. This connection may have a big play or two in one of the next three games, possibly the Big Ten championship game, because it's needed. These are the things, these are the connections that championship teams have and they utilize in big moments.
So, Jay, you said you hit everything on the head as far as this connection goes. And you even brought up our offensive play calling, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go even further. C.J. Stroud, I love him. I do love him. I think he's an amazing thrower of the football. But you know what this looks like? You remember when Dwayne Haskins was the quarterback of Ohio State and mm-hmm. our offense looked very limited and Purdue took advantage of that a few years ago because Dwayne Haskins couldn't really run the ball. And even he ran the ball more effective than C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's killing us because we run the run-pass option. We're calling the same plays. So anybody who knows Ohio State's off, we're calling the same type of plays that we've always called, but it always results in giving it to the running back. And sometimes that's not the right call. So we're like, well, we should give Travion Henderson the ball a lot more, but like, no, we just should set him up in better opportunities, but it falls on the quarterback because Ryan Day runs the run pass option. We still run the cross routes and everything is running fluid like an Ohio State offense. But the difference is C.J. Stroud is not a threat with his legs. And that absolutely matters to the effectiveness of Ohio State's offense. You start to find – now, more defenses are getting even smarter than they were a few years ago when Purdue had a playmaker like Rondale Moore and then a defensive coordinator who was able to take advantage of the lack of plays that Ohio State was able to make with their quarterback with their legs. Now you're seeing guys are a lot smarter. Guys learn from previous people's mistakes. And with C.J. Stroud not being effective with his legs, how many plays – Jay, did we look at it could have been a second and three as opposed to first and 10 or second and 10 because C.J. Stroud decided to throw the ball instead of run? That is a big effect on Ohio State's offense. The fact that he's zero, defenses don't even prep at all. Defensive ends make him hand the ball off because they play the outside because he's zero effect. And that's all what the run pass option is you read the defensive end, you read the linebacker, and that's whether you decide to give or take. And guess who the best at that was? JT Barrett. And that's why he almost was seamlessly unstoppable in Ohio State's offense. He wasn't the greatest thrower of the ball, but he was the best at reading the run-pass option that opened up everything. C.J. Stroud is almost 0% effective with his legs. He will not run no matter how much room you leave in front of him. And that's a problem for Ohio State's offense. And I don't know if you fix that with Stroud because I don't think he believes in his legs ability. So I'm not ready to give up on Stroud. But either you got to beat into him that he has to be effective in his legs, or after this year, we start is Quinn Ewers. If he's effective with his legs, he's going to be the most effective quarterback in that offense just because look at all the previous guys and the success. They all been successful with their legs, minus Dwayne Haskins and Cardale Jones, and we had to run a completely different offense for them to be the ultimate success in that Ohio State offense.
We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I got a couple things for you here. You mentioned something very quickly about Stroud and his legs, and I have been having this thought in my head for quite a while.
You have to try one of these amazing bars. I don't know if it's him. Most protein bars.
I noticed the same thing last year with Justin Fields.
Or Justin Fields,
he runs a 4-4, bro. He can probably run a 4-3
and
he's racing somebody.
Real chocolate.
And when you bite, he has the elusiveness. He has the quick.
You're eating something
different.
For some reason, during it's more games, of an experience.
He was not one utilizing his games enjoy. In the ways that in fact, we believe that we know that he could. We believe that he should Bill in that moment.
Low calorie, and I wonder low if he's being coached this way.
Because I've noticed one sugar, thing about all the quarterbacks that have played this year.
So all the health benefits they dive, on top of I know just it's a coaching thing. Delicious. They dive forward, another great thing about Bill Barr.
But they also cradle the ball.
Mouth watering flavors,
including in the balls behind him.
And raspberry, but they're being coached brownie, to coconut jump almond, forward, cradle the ball, caramel,
and get as many yards as you can. Cherry, you're giving up your body. You're getting all month, the yards that you
Bill
can.
Bill Barr's coming out with last new year, limited time
I don't remember
flavors
exactly
every
when Corey Dennis took
to
over.
Days.
I think it was last
so
year.
Check
quarterback
their website often. You
maybe a couple years ago. I know Ryan Day's very implemented with the quarterbacks. When you have a quarterback coach,
I wonder if he's being coached L-O-C-K-E-D
to not run the ball.
Because
even when he's rolling
word,
out,
you will
not just the RPO game, when he's rolling out right or left,
next order once again,
these guys are not worried about him running for 5 yards to the right or to the left, which is why 15, number 13 JoJo Doman and other guys that were on the defense of Nebraska, they were able to, when they came to attack, there was no worry about him, Stroud, running for a first down or running to get yards. It was Stroud's going to try to extend the play with behind line of scrimmage and throwing the ball with his arm. I don't know if he's being coached that way. I'm not sure. But it does not help, Mo. We're going to go a little bit longer than I planned today, but it's okay. I'm not sure. I wonder about something with this offensive line. Because I've noticed throughout this season, they have played – this is things we saw in today's game too. DeJuan Jones, right tackle, didn't start, had a little illness, then he came back in. But they're still using six offensive linemen. I don't know what the best five is for this team, and I don't believe the offensive coaches know who the best five offensive linemen are for this team. I think I know what one guy that's on the bench, Matt Jones. I think Matt Jones should play consistently. I'm not sure how you maneuver the other four guys there to make sure Matt Jones is in the right spot on the offensive line. However, one thing I do know, and we saw this last week against Penn State. We saw it again today against Nebraska. If you're crossing in front of these guys' faces from right to left, slanting right to left, and say you're on my right side, the defensive end, defensive lineman, then he's going across to my left side, that slant, that movement struggles, causes so many issues with this team. Seeing a multiple front from three down linemen to four down linemen to three down linemen with two walk linebackers, I wonder if it's coaching. I know I don't want to say it's all coaching. I wonder if it's communication. I wonder if it's – I'm not sure because I think if I do something, I'm not sure if I'm going to be on the field consistently all again. So one mistake I'm fearful of, and then I'm going to be taken off the field. There's so much going on with this offensive line of this team. And we're talking about this after a win, Mo. I mean, this is game number what, 9? We're talking about this in game number 9. Ohio State is 8-1 right now with games left against Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan. And we're talking about – Ohio State possibly not playing their best five starting offensive linemen. This is not a problem at Ohio State in most years. These are not things you talk about in game number 9, but I do believe that's part of the reason why the running game from Travion Henderson is the way that it is. I cannot let Ryan Day off the hook because he's not devoting enough time in game to the run game, which allows for defenses to set back and to dictate what Stroud's doing. Yeah, you have Njigba, but when you're able to dictate so much from the offense that you're on the field with as a defense, it really aids you. We saw two interceptions from Stroud today. We saw a fumble, which I have no idea what that man was doing when there's a guy right behind him. You just eluded him. Hold the ball, bro. Just hold the ball. It's okay. A sack is not the end of the world. So many issues with this team after a win, game number 9. Mo, Stroud's good. This offense can be better. I just don't know if they will put them in the right places to be better. There's more I can say about this because I noticed things previously in the season that are not happening right now. Day is not exempt from this. Stroud's not exempt from this. The offensive line is not exempt. So many things we're talking about after a win, after game number 9, that seems so weird, bro.
And I'm with you all the way. Like, we're in game number 9, and we're talking about 8-1, and we're sitting here talking about what's the best rotation for the offensive line. At this point, you should know.
It's so funny, bro, because this is so weird.
But you should know what the best rotation is on offense and defense to get you to a national championship. That's essentially what you play for right now. Henderson looks a little banged up, but, you know, whatever. I don't know if he's really back 100% from his injury or whatever. But what I will say is it comes down to the fact that the quarterback cannot run the ball. Like you said, now we can dive deep and be like, is it coaching? Is it C.J. Stroud? But J.K. Dobbins was not the most effective and did not have a breakout year when he had Dwayne Haskins as his quarterback. But he did year one of Justin Fields when it was J.K. Dobbins and Justin Fields back there. And Justin Fields was utilized as a running quarterback and running the run-pass option. At that point, you had to play J.K. Dobbins up the middle. You had to play Justin Fields as a rusher on the outside. And you had to play the pass game. You don't have to play that no more. If you don't hand it to Travion Henderson or Master Teague or Mayan Williams, whoever's back there, then it is a pass because nobody respects the quarterback in the run game. And like I said, I just keep going back to we saw how that happened with Cardale Jones, except the fact that Ezekiel Elliott was such a great running back that it didn't matter. But we saw the offense change there. We saw the offense change with Dwayne Haskins because they didn't respect him as a runner. But even then, him and Cardale Jones would at least use their big body to at least get that first down on a third and short. On a second and nine, they'll set you up for a third and five. C.J. Stroud doesn't do that. And so when it comes to play calling, I think Ryan Day, and I don't want to knock him because he's a great coach, but I think Ryan Day has not adjusted to play calling because he doesn't have a big body quarterback that can at least get you those extra 2 to 3 yards to set you up as a second and seven or a third and four. And he's not setting up the play calls for the fact you don't really have a quarterback that's going to get you a first down with his legs.
You don't. You don't at all. I want to transition back to the defense. I'm going to get away from the offense for time's sake. This defense specifically, when I look at Nebraska, we know Nebraska struggles, not only the penalties that they had in this game, but if you look at, I'm trying to pull it up on my computer once again, the third down efficiency. Now, this is one thing that I know for teams that struggle, you're able to either extend drives and stay on the field and get confidence and gain confidence, or that's where things go to die, and that's where drives die and your confidence dies and things like that. Nebraska was 2 for 13 on third down. I firmly believe with Steel Chambers off of the field in the first half, that was part of the reason Ohio State stayed in this game so much. Steel Chambers coming back in the second half, it didn't take long, Mo, to see his importance, to see his influence, to see him around the ball, no matter if it was boundary on the sideline, if the interception at the end of the game to kill the last drive for Nebraska. Steel Chambers' importance is huge. And I truly wonder, once again, this is week 9, game number 9, about to go into game number 10. Mo, I wonder if Steel Chambers will start the rest of the year at linebacker for the Buckeyes. I mean, the Purdue game, Michigan State game, the Michigan game, and then if they get to the Big Ten Championship, I know they can. I say if because it's not set in stone. If they get to the Big Ten Championship, if he'll start there, because I do believe he is the best linebacker that Ohio State has this year.
And isn't that crazy? Jay, everything you said, when you revert back to being a big-time Ohio State fan, such as we are, and breaking down Ohio State, isn't it crazy that a former running back is our best linebacker on our team? And we could come
to – Hold on, Mo. So in high school, he was scouted as a running back and a linebacker. I read a scouting report from 247sports.com. The scout that recruited him and that watched him in high school, the scout said, and it's on the website, Steel Chambers is a better linebacker at the next level in college than a running back. A recruiting analyst that covers Ohio State specifically said while he was watching Steel Chambers in high school, Steel Chambers is a better linebacker in college than a running back. And it's interesting how in this moment that it took a Travion Henderson coming in as a freshman and saying, wait, I'm not getting on the field at running back. What in the world can I do on this team? Oh, go to the linebacker after – I think it was after spring practice too. Mm-hmm. And then, like you mentioned, it happened this year, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and so it's just crazy to say that like a guy who was our former fourth-string running back at best, coming into the season, we had Master Teague, Mayan Williams, Travion Henderson. So essentially, Steel Chambers kept dropping down the depth chart. You know, as we seen blowouts last year, we started seeing him a little more and more. But he moves the linebacker, and linebacker core was kind of our biggest concern coming into the season. Mm-hmm. You and Jeff had talked about it. You know, prior to coming into the season, you and me did a show on my show coming into the Minnesota game, and we talked about the biggest weakness, and it was linebacker position. And for Steel Chambers to be our best linebacker, like, that says a lot about him as an athlete and as a football player, but that also says a lot about Ohio State's linebacker core.
Yes. Because we moved
We moved the running back to linebacker this year, who's been our running back and never thought about being a linebacker, at least to my knowledge, right, until this year. We see how weak our linebacker core is, and we move our running back there. He's the most effective linebacker we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be honest, Jay. He might be one of the best linebackers we've had in the past 3 years. Let's just be honest. Like, we've had we've had some guys who, like, and they're playing pretty decent in the NFL, but I think that's a testament to Steel Chambers and how good he is at linebacker, because I think he could go to the next level. He looks like a he looks like he could play linebacker in the NFL. Doesn't look like a first round pick. Doesn't look like maybe a day two pick. Rounds four through seven. I think somebody would love to have Steel Chambers and his abilities at linebacker. But I think he could be, in the past 3 years, he could be possibly the best linebacker we've had. And that says a lot, because we've had some linebackers drafted. And I think at Ohio State, with his side-to-side, everything you look in a linebacker, Steel Chambers has it. But you're still going to look at him a little sideways, because it is his first year playing linebacker and he's draft eligible. So you're going to probably knock him a lot more than any typical linebacker we've had previously, like Tough Boylan and Pete Werner.
We're going to close out with this. Ryan Sims right here on the YouTube chat made a great comment. We're going to close out with this. We can talk about Steel Chambers, talk about how good he has been all year long, talk about what his influence was in this game when he came back in. He would have done nothing without the defensive line being as good as they were. Now, they were in the backfield quite a bit. I know they had at least 5 or 6 sacks in this game. I mean, they were on Adrian Martinez throughout portions of this game, and the offensive line of Nebraska showed they can't guard Ohio State's defensive line. They can't block them at all. Steel Chambers, any linebacker at Ohio State in the country, they cannot be good without the guys up front being good. And Ohio State's defensive line continues to get better and better and better week after week after week.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, Tyreek Smith was getting to the backfield a lot. You heard Zach Harrison's name a little bit. But it just comes down to the fact, like, when your D-line gets to the quarterback, it makes everybody in level 2 linebackers and level 3 secondary, it make their job easier. And so, therefore, for our D-line to look as great as they've had, and we've had some banged-up defensive linemen. Like, we come into an injury report every week, and, like, obviously we know Tyler Friday. We talked about him prior to the season, but losing him for the season. But we always have somebody banged up on the defensive line, and it's like, where do we bounce back from? So, for our defensive line to continuously get better week after week, that makes the job for level 2 linebackers and level 3 secondary easy. And so, even though we still give up big plays, if you're putting pressure on the quarterback, which we continuously need, because if we're looking on to the future, Purdue wins games by passing the ball. So, if we make the quarterback make bad decisions, we should be okay winning that game, because their defense, I don't think, shouldn't stop our offense. We look at Michigan State and Michigan, and their recipe is running the ball. So, if and when we make their quarterback decide to make the right decision, we force them to make bad decisions by getting pressure on the quarterback, then we should be fine for the rest of the season leading up to getting to the Big Ten Championship and ultimately trying to win. But we're going to need to keep continuing to build off of level 1 being the most effective spot on defense, so that level 2 and level 3 have an easier job to continue to be effective.
Absolutely. Mo Murphy, my guy, he is here. Tried to get him on a post-game show a while ago. He had a little surgery. He is back here, and I'm glad he is back here on the show. Mo, let the good people know where they can follow you on Twitter and also where they can catch up with your show and all the great things going on at the Off the Ball Network.
Yeah, so as always, starting with Off the Ball Network, you go to offtheballnetwork.com for all your sports season and entertainment. Jay's a part of it. He does the Locked On Buckeyes, which is great, but he also does the Jay Stevens podcast, so make sure you go check that out. Gets a little more in detail outside of the Buckeyes world. You can follow me as you see it right here at Mo_Cheese15. And make sure you go on Dash Radio. Make sure you download Dash Radio and go favorite the Nothing But Net channel, because every Monday is Off the Ball Network Monday, starting at 11 a.m. with my show Up in Flames, going through like 4 o'clock, basically 5 straight hours of basketball talk over there at Dash Radio. So make sure you go check that out. You get Up in Flames Sports Podcast wherever you get your podcast, Twitter, And then Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get it, you can also go check it out. And then, as always, Jay, I appreciate you for having me on here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem at all, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. If you want to email me, jstevens317@gmail.com. We will be full of football talk all week long. Ohio State basketball starts on Tuesday of the game, Tuesday and Friday, gearing up all week long. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Buckeyes on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your fine podcasts. Sometimes you're going to have a couple shows a day because there's so much news coming out. You don't want to miss it. Also, YouTube, search Locked On Buckeyes. Great place to get everything there as well. Ryan Sims on the YouTube chat, thank you for the comment. We'll be back here with a live show recapping the Tuesday game of Ohio State basketball and a live show recapping the upcoming college football playoff rankings Tuesday evening. We got Mo from the Off the Ball Network right now on Tuesday. My guy, our guy, Jeff Hunt, will be back for that show as well.